Hammered drunk.
Who are you?
Thank you, Lynn. What a beautiful prayer. Man, just whacked up, laced. Oh, gosh. Man.
Wow.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, it's great to, I'm honored, absolutely honored and privileged to be able to share on Spink's platform. You know, love that guy so much. I met him back in 2014, and just the message of heaven already here was super heavy with him and just really set in on my life. We've arrived, we've made it, we're finally here. All thanks to the doing of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Whoa. And I'm sure he's enjoying Nepal. I had the pleasure of going with them over to Nepal when they started the orphanage, which was absolutely lovely, beautiful, wonderful. I had spent some time in an orphanage myself 3 years ago, or for 3 years, serving handicapped orphans. And so just a wonderful time. I'm sure he's having a blast over there. And I think that's one of the most amazing things to see is helping the poor like that. Gosh. So glad, thankful for this community that helps support him and his trips and stuff. And when I met Matt, whew, it was a fire, man. It was intense. I was at Cana, Cana 1, Cana 2. I did both of them. There was five of us that just couldn't get enough. We were so hungry, just needing some overhaul right there, some new mindsets. And Matt was one of my favorite preachers, of course. And when he came in that first time, it was so much. It took me that whole summer or that whole next season to process before the next time I saw him. And just hearing the message again that the kingdom of God's already here. It's at hand. It's as close as your hand is to your face. You know, it's even closer than that. It's right here. My buddy Jan Reckelhoff and I were upstairs in there while he's preaching, just standing like pillars on fire, man. And I just released that fire of heaven. Oh my gosh, it was so heavy. I couldn't believe we weren't glowing. I mean, man, like light bulbs, but we felt it. We were just stuck for like an hour and a half or something, just listening to some music. Yeah, so I really appreciate what he's bringing. And I know that anyone who's listening to his message, you guys have been around a while. You're going to hear a lot of the same things coming from me. You know, the message doesn't change at all. At least I hope to share at least some of the things that he shares in my own way. And, you know, we've had an amazing, blessed season over here. And I would love to just kind of share some of that stuff. Maybe I'll start off with kind of where I come from, how I ended up where I'm at, and how God has really radically changed and blessed and provided abundantly in my life and with my family. So maybe if we just want to take a little drink, you know, just rest back. One of my my rules from Katie and Matt when they asked me to teach was to rest. So I took a couple naps before the teaching, you know, just making sure I'm thoroughly listening well to my advisors. It was good. We've been doing construction around here a lot. It was very well needed and I took it to heart. So yeah, I guess, you know, so I was a real poor kid in Oregon, you know, not in spirit, but financially, and just kind of impoverished, really crazy family. I lived with basically some hippies that were very young, you know, super loving, but very young, got into drugs really early in life. Dad passed away when I was 12. We were moving around all over the U.S. I mean, I've lived Alaska, Canada, Oregon, Washington, California, all over the place and stuff. But anyways, just to kind of get a I'll look at. But in the midst of that, I had some really cool encounters. I remember when I was 4 years old and we were praying, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, which I can't believe that was ever a prayer. Now that I, you know, like, what are you telling your kids? Gosh, you know, I don't believe that, you know, what if we never die? You know, what if this is the generation that should never die? We just keep on walking. Thank God. Come on, Jesus, grace. Anyways, my mom said in Jesus' name, and I remember being 4 or 5 years old and thinking and asking her, what? I'm praying that my family will all be good and taken care of. I'm praying to God who created everything in the whole universe. And you're praying to some man. And I couldn't wrap my mind around it because I knew even from that age that she explained to me that God was a man. He became a man. His name was Jesus. And it was the reason it was weird to me is because I knew that if God made himself like us, that we were made equal with him. And was just a radical, scandalous thought for me at that young age. And so always having the incarnation kind of implanted as a young kid was one of the most beneficial things I'd ever experienced from my mother. But anyways, we'd be running from my dad. He's very abusive. And we pull off to the side of the road in the truck and start praying for food because we had nothing. We're just getting away from him. And next thing you know, someone would show up with food. And so I started to cultivate, like, prayer works. It's real. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. When I was real young, I remember going to a church to ask for money or something with my parents. I don't know what they were doing. I wasn't really with it. But when we were sitting there in the meeting, I was so, like, I knew something here was ringing in my heart big time. And I remember going back to the motorhome after that and crying and thinking, like, what is going on? Like, and I asked God, why do I have this family? They just seem really unloving a lot of times and really harsh and just wanted that love. And I wanted communion. I wanted fellowship. I wanted worship. I wanted to know about God, you know? And from a young age, I believed that I had a calling or a gifting, I would say, to want to do this type of stuff. And so I think that's what was going on. But something that was crazy is that the Lord answered me. And he said, it's going to be better off that you grow up this way from a little kid. And I found peace through a lot of years of craziness. So that was like kind of like the younger years of my life. High school was crazy, all that stuff. I had different encounters and stuff. I went to join the Marine Corps. Anyways, we skipped a lot of that stuff, you know, so whatever. I was just trying to give you an idea. don't need to wallow in it. So I joined the Marine Corps and got out, went through a divorce, you know, it just didn't work. I went to war. I had all that experience of just trauma and different types of things going on in the world and not really knowing what's going on, and was so depressed. I was so depressed because I just couldn't figure out where to go, who to turn to. Didn't seem like anyone really had any answers or anything. And eventually started going to a church. It was a great pastor. It was more of a, you know, just a fellowship. And the law for me was better than heathenism. You know, at least when you're in the law, like, at least you get what you work for sometimes. But when you're in hedonism under the curse, you don't even get what you work for. That stuff gets stolen right from under your feet, just ripped right out. So I was finding contentment. And my pastor, obviously, you know, a lot of grace with him. He had some amazing mystical experiences that he was preaching and sharing. And it was drunk. A lot of the messages were really drunk. And he was very focused on Jesus, and then seeing Jesus live his life and just hearing and reading those stories, I was seeing my own life and I was experiencing a lot of healing and stuff through that. But Yeah. And then, so I went through a long season of that, studied the Bible multiple times, did some missionary stuff. I came back, wanted to go to Bethel. When I was in Mexico and I'd studied the Bible multiple times, a guy from Bethel came down and he was so loving, way more than me, even though I knew the word like crazy. He had so much love flowing out of him, so much presence, so much fire. You could feel it. You could experience it. You could just, you wanted it. You knew that that was the truth. As soon as you saw that, from my perspective of my coldened heart from so much scripture, you know, even though I was always trying to hold on to those scriptures where it said that Paul would go to the Gentiles and tell them that God lives inside of them, I tried to hold on to them, but so many people, you know, they just didn't know. And they said, nah, that's not really how it goes. little do we know, you know, we're all born together with Christ. Peter says that we're all born again through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was his death. It was his resurrection. That's where the new birth comes from, not of ourselves. So I went to Bethel, had fun, saw some miracles, saw the glory cloud, got to perform in a lot of fun miracles in Africa. We were walking through a township one time and it was supposed to be super hostile. No one's supposed to go there. Everyone's telling us, you got to turn around. You got to leave, get away from this place. And we're just walking through there. We're handing out soccer balls. We're loving on people. And I get a group of kids together, this girl and I, and we start loving on them, start playing soccer. And I asked them, hey, do you know anybody that needs healing? Or, well, actually, I asked them if they needed healing. And then, of course, being kids, they just kind of looked at me like, no, we're all good. And just wanted to go play. And I said, well, do you know anyone that needs healing? And they said, yeah, we know this lady who never walks. She always sits down. She never walks. And I'm like, okay, do you know where she's at? Yeah, we could take you to her. So we're walking through this township and more and more children start showing up. We've got 60, 70 kids, and we're rolling through the streets in the glory, just loving on them, playing soccer, not worried about getting shot. You know, it's God's with us. He's good. And they point this lady out, and we look over. There she is. She's sitting there. She can't walk. And we walk over to her. I walk over, and we say, hey, can we pray for you? The girl I was with said, hey, I saw that hat in a, you know, was it what they do at Bethel, the treasure hunts. And it was a Target. And we came from California to love on you. And I grabbed her feet. I put my hands under her legs. And they were real big, kind of sunk in. I don't know what that is called or whatever. But yeah, she didn't walk on them, but twice a day. I guess she did walk on them. You know, she walked over to the seat and then she walked home. But I put my legs under her, or my hands under her legs, and I start kissing her feet, and she starts freaking out. Her legs are flailing and she's screaming like crazy. And I'm just holding out my hands like this, asking if she's okay, trying to make sure she's all right. You know, I want to make sure she's taken care of and good. But she stands up and starts running around and dancing and is completely transformed in her countenance is just completely transformed. She's so overflowing with love and joy and just celebrating. And we're celebrating right there with her. And all the kids are stunned. They're just like, ah, what's going on? And the kids kind of take off. They kind of run away, and we're like, yeah, okay, that might have been too much for them. I don't know. but this lady, it was insane. It was amazing. This lady, she gets her friend. We pray for her. She gets healed. She grabs her son who's got migraines. He's in the house. I go into her house. And she pulls him out of the bedroom and he says, yeah, I've had migraines for like 6 months. And I said, hey, I took my hat off. I laid it on his head. I said, hey, by the time I'm done prophesying and praying for you, you're going to be fully healed. And he said, as soon as your hat touched my head, it's gone. I don't feel nothing right now. And I'm like, well, I'm still going to pray and prophesy over you. Boom, boom, boom. Just releasing that love and that fire over him. And then, his sister had something going on. We prayed for her. Just healings were breaking out like I'd never experienced before. I've been in the church for a while at this point, but not on like a missionary trip where I actually got to see and experience all these amazing manifestations at once. And then all of a sudden we go outside and all these kids that we thought were running away were bringing their family members back to us to pray for them. And we started laying hands on all kinds of people, man, just boom, boom. We had a great time when they started calling us into houses. Hey, we're too scared to come out in the streets and do this, but will you pray for us? You know, I do bad things, but I want to do good things. And we would just love on them and tell them you're perfect, you're holy, you're sanctified, you're set apart. Anyways, yeah. So I had some fun experiences there at Bethel and got to see some cool stuff. And anyways, maybe we just take a little smoke break, just a little. Mm. Woo. Man, it's thick. Gosh. Whoa. Yeah, so all that, you know, that was kind of like that was a cool, fun season. And then right when I was in Bethel, someone had mentioned John Crowder. Man, it was over from there. As soon as I heard that word, that your faith doesn't save you, I heard it before. Yes, Lord. Saved by
ob ich wohl so gucke und du hier von hinten kommst von der Seite.
His faith has saved us.
Nein, du schlägst da auf Socken runter und willst du nicht anfassen, ja. Ist gut, sorry about it.
Thera, you're not on mute. Love you.
I got it. So, anyways, I was super thankful to hang out with John and get to go to Cana 1 and 2. This season, since I've got to experience and understand more of the gospel, has been insane. I mean, it's like my heart has been attracting everything I could imagine that we would even want, and my wife's as well. Just stuff comes flowing. God has just been very gracious, abundantly gracious, radically gracious. I go from being a single guy at, I don't know, how old was I, 33. I'm married. I've got a house, 7 acres, 3 kids, 4 horses. I mean, the last 7 years have been, we have received so much favor. That we're just blown away. Our hearts are full and overflowing. My wife cries a lot, just looking outside and realizing, wow, this is so amazing what God's doing, how abundantly beyond what she could think or ask. I mean, she had a horse that she raised when she was young, when she was, well, not yet, I mean, like 8 years ago. And she loved this horse, and she would cry when she would see this horse on Facebook. I reached out to him a couple of times and nothing. And one day she's crying, and I said, hey, you know, maybe just talk to the lady who owned that horse or who owns it now. And she gave Pepper back to my wife. My wife sold her for like $20,000 8 years before to that lady. Anyways, just a crazy story. Not only that, we got gifted a therapy horse. My wife loves horses. She grew up in a horse arena, so she's been super happy that our own kids can ride Pepper, the horse that she trained and finished and fell in love with in that way, you know. However you fall in love with a horse, I don't know. That's not my thing, but she's enjoyed it. We've been remodeling this house. It's 4,000 square feet. It's huge. It's awesome to have the money to be able to do that and be able to hire people when we need and a good job, just all these amazing things. You know, John Crowder said once, because I've been in ministry for a while, and he's like, don't quit your day job. I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been trying to do ministry quite a bit, which I love ministry. And we plan on doing more ministry. You know, I'm honored and privileged to be able to get on here and share some stuff. You know, I've been remodeling for the last 2 years. Haven't really been in the flow of teaching or preaching, but I really appreciate you guys taking some time to listen and release that abundance, the gospel abundance. It's a whole nother realm. We're not in the curse anymore. In hedonism, we're not under the law. We're not working for our own. We are under what God purchased in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago through the inheritance. We named our daughter Charis. I'm sure, you know, many of you know what that means, but the divine influence upon the heart manifests in the life, you know, and that has been the season that we've been in, just this season of Charis, this season of unmerited, just overflowing grace. To have a little girl has been super special. She's a sweetheart. Yeah. Something that is, well, yeah. Never mind. Let's pause on that one. And we'll take another drink. I love you guys. Does anyone have any questions? And I don't really know how to do questions. It might be a good time that you guys have any questions that you'd like to ask or even say anything, have any comments or anything. That'd be fine.
Well, did you have an individual like experience? Is there a particular day that you felt something different or got whacked or whatever you want to call it?
I mean, the something that really radically changed my life, I was in the Marine Corps. A sergeant came up to me. He disavowed ranks. He just kind of shot past all those, and he's pulling staff sergeants up, guys that are higher ranking than him. He pulled me over. He ended up getting like five of us, a couple of them left. And he's like, hey, look, and he just starts preaching what he knew of the gospel. You know, I think, here's what he's doing. He was preaching Matthew 13, the sower and the seed. And in that moment, as he's sharing that with me and my eyes are closed and he's praying for me and he's sharing that story, I felt like in times past, I had experienced all those seeds. Friends kind of pushing those seeds off. Those aren't, you know, gospel's not real. Friends coming in and picking them up, taking them away or whatever. I had my eyes closed and this crazy thing happened where blackberries were completely covering me. I was in depression. I couldn't see any light, any hope. And then all of a sudden, boom, this light shined from above. I look up and I see Jesus through the briars. Wow. And it came down, went into my heart, and I knew that God lived inside me in that moment.
Come on.
That was before I went to like study it and all that. So I didn't have the theology for it. And everyone told me, you know, I just thought it was because of what I did. It came in. It was a powerful experience. It was definitely a revealing experience. It definitely changed my heart and mind. And I mean, I was in the Marine Corps cussing, saying, I love Jesus, F this. And they're like, you're a Christian? no way. You know, I didn't know anything. But I can tell you that my joy levels have overflown. I mean, yeah, complete restoration in that area. Yeah. Hammer drunk. And I have peace all the time. I don't even think about not having peace like before. You know, you don't feel at peace sometimes. Like, I haven't had that happen in years. I don't even know. You know, so this message is so powerful. It disperses all darkness and fills our lives with light and love and truth, goodness. And yeah, and I think that's why I'd always carried that seed of Christ lives in everybody, was from that encounter. It was so real to me. But yeah, we've got some great theologians out there to help us kind of weed through a lot of the briars in that sense. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, thanks for asking that question, Lynn. Yeah.
It's a wholly different theology, isn't it, from what maybe we grew up with or what we were taught or, you know, whatever we heard in church over the years. It's just been this whole message that we're hearing now. Thankfully, I see it spreading around the earth again, afresh, anew. It's just the original. But yeah, man, it's a stark contrast to whatever we
I know. It's amazing. I cannot believe we're here during this time. You know, the stage is set up. The message is flowing. It's just a beautiful season. That's for sure.
Do you guys have a fellowship there that you engage with, or you just kind of are you out in the country?
No, we've got some friends that we meet up with quite often, but they're still a little ways away. And then the reason we moved back here from Montana is because all of Hannah's brothers live here in Klamath Falls, and so we've got a lot of connection community that way. Yeah,
nice.
Not a lot of gospel, but we live pretty far out here. It's called Bly, but you know, we got the drunken Zoom meetings and different things we get to do.
Yeah, that's the glory of having these kind of meetings and gatherings. At least we're able to get together. We're talking about Sunday virtually. It's like, wow, it's nourishment, right? It's like I need each other. Yeah. Feasting on each other. Yeah. Anybody else got any questions for Michael or comments or thoughts or let's tap into his infinite wisdom. You want to ask some deep theological question. So what did you have to do to earn this divine favor you're walking in?
Yeah, that's just it. Quit doing. Quit the doo-doo.
Come
on. But it is interesting. I'm not saying, you know, doing anything, but it is funny because that verse, God does exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And that's kind of crazy, because when you think about it, it's God who's working in us. That heart that we have is a magnet to recognize things. I used to do a lot of things with my mind where I would try to make things happen. I'd try to speak it out and do all that stuff. And it was kind of controlling. And then I stopped doing all that. And my heart starts resonating. And if I need a fireplace, I ain't even got to worry about it, dude. A fireplace is going to pop up. And it did, like, crazy stuff. Like, how do you find an abandoned building? Like, you're part of a project and you get a fireplace given to you. It's like, that stuff happens all the time with us. We're not, you know, striving in prayer for things anymore. We do love to pray. We do love to enjoy God's presence in that way. And it's definitely a gift that's been given to me. You know, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it's just been cool. You think about Moses, and the Lord says, hey, just lift your staff up. I already gave you something. You know, I think a lot of us have these cool tools, not out of works or anything, but we have tools that he's given us. And he says, hey, you know, even Jesus was provoked by his mother. Hey, maybe, you know, maybe you're going to make some.
I love that verse. Just stand and behold what I can do. Like, just hide and watch what I can do, right?
Yeah.
I think Sophia had a question.
Well, that's a good one. Hide and watch. Yes, yes.
Oh, I just wanted to know. So with the vision that you had and you hearing about John Crowder, how did you connect the two?
Came into your heart. Yeah.
With the Matthew 13 story.
Yeah.
That was like a lot of years. It really, I didn't connect those together. I had gone, that was 2003. I didn't know anything about John Crowder till 2012. So 2012. And I was at Bethel, and the thing that connected me with him was somebody said, hey, you preach like John Crowder. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him. I don't preach like John Crowder. I mean, I maybe in my failest attempt I was, but the thing that rolled over was that God lives inside everybody. That was the thing that I was stuck on, even at Bethel. And they're, you know, still trying, a lot of times there's a lot of strife. I mean, you just got so many people, so many teachers. Everyone wants to see everybody saved. Well, the problem is everybody's already been saved. Jesus Christ is savior of all. Every single person's already been saved. We can't save them, you know, especially those who believe it. We can help we can encourage people into the truth, the faith, the knowledge of the glory of the gospel. You know, we're only enemies with God in our own minds. Renew your mind and the reality, repent, change your mind. The kingdom of heaven's already here. We're just waking up to the reality that's already here, and
yeah, we're just appropriating what we've already been given, right? Mm-hmm. And was Sophia, were you asking though how we reconciled maybe the difference between inviting Jesus into your heart and versus like what John Crowder and most of us preach is Christ is already there? Was that kind of your question?
No, because based off of that vision you had, it seemed like you had received that message in your own way. So maybe it was that the first time you heard someone else kind of like teach what you had, you know, somehow believed, because people are saying that's what you're preaching.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the first time I'd ever heard it preached, but when I studied a lot, I studied before I went to Bethel through scripture, and it's all over. I couldn't get away from it. You've got John, and God's Jesus is the light, the true light that comes into the earth or into the world, the true light that lights every man, you know, and Colossians, Paul's going to the Gentiles to share this good news with them that God lives inside everybody. I saw that everywhere. I didn't understand. I definitely had no grasp of how that happened through the death and resurrection and what was cut off during that, like what was circumcised off, what happened, what God was doing and the soteriology, the saving work of humanity or all the cosmos when everything, because God fills everything, you know, there's no place he's not at. So when God died essentially on the cross, everything would have imploded. There's nothing could sustain without him. And so when he was resurrected 3 days later, everything, Paul would say, has become brand spanking new. Everything was reborn, brand new. He removed something. He removed that sinful nature. He made us holy, whether we knew it or not. And Paul caught that New Covenant message. I saw there was a New Covenant. There's something that actually changed, something that Jesus actually did. Sorry, I probably am not answering your question exactly or whatever, but, you know, I'm just trying to share a little bit of that. Yeah, it wasn't the vision didn't give me the theology behind any of it. Because if you take the vision for what it was, then it would have been God coming into me. But it was something that I already knew, that I was always his child. And I had always already heard his voice. Wow. You know, so I was never alienated from God. I mean, in my own mind or whatever, but I was never, was that verse in Isaiah, you know, you've been separated from God. Your sins have separated you from God, you know, like in that sense, I always knew I was with God because he took care of me in the worst. I mean, I watched him do it and knew there was a divine power. And I somewhat knew his name, but it wasn't solidified until that encounter that I got to share with the apostolic church, led the laying, the gift. The funny thing is that that's a crazy gift. The laying on of hands. They laid their hands on me. Oh, so I didn't tell you that one. So I had that vision, and then I go to their church and they're apostolic. They lay hands on me and I have a bunch of like stuff in my heart, and they are speaking it out with their hands on me. Everything that's in my heart, and I got completely washed clean through that gift. I did not know that was the first gift I came to experience, like gift like that or whatever from the church. And I was really weirded out, and I became a weirdo too for a while, I'm sure. But
that's awesome.
It's a true gift. It works.
Mark's got a question, and I think Nicole has a question. They both have their hands up. So
okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was really happy when you first started speaking, because you referred to your 4-year-old self. And I mean, really, that in some way, that was the whole you. I mean, God's little boy right there, the total package. Yeah. But I thought I was hearing you say that you somehow knew that Jesus was like inside you, or was it like he was vicariously being a good boy for you in any way that you could recall? Just anything from that 4-year-old time span, you know, like what teachings you had. I was just trying to connect with that.
Wow. Yeah, that's... I wish I understood that. I didn't actually understand God lived inside me, but man, I really like the question. And that could definitely, I agree with it. You know, I agree. Look, boys and girls naturally have this innate innocence to them, and they're not trying to do things out of evil intentions at all, you know. And I think kids can be misunderstood and disciplined incorrectly, you know, and that can get tangled up a little bit, quite a bit, you know. I thought I was perfect. Honestly, you know, but I'll tell you the truth though, having kids, being married isn't, I mean, I wish I could just be like, oh God, it's always 100% billion on fire, you know, but we've have our arguments. We have, you know, times when I'm a little harsh with the kids. I'm a new parent. It's like, it's all new to me, kind of. I'm trying to do the best I can. And really love them well and want them to turn out well. And my firstborn's already 5 years old. I can't believe it. He's growing up right before me. Am I going to do good? I think it's going to be good. There's a lot of grace in our family, and we're just going to continue on with that abundant favor. I'm just going to say that, you know. I know that probably didn't answer much of your question. When I was 4, I had an encounter where I really, I didn't know God lived in me, but if God became a man, then he made himself equal with me. Or, you know, like, and I, as being a kid, I remember thinking like, how could he have made me equal with him? He's created everything. He runs the universe, you know, and it's really cool now that we have like C. Baxter Kruger, who teaches union with distinction. We're fully united to him. I would never even say that. And I know this is a little scandalous, but I don't like saying that I'm not God in the fact of, I don't want to take away from anything that he's did. Like that he has done. Yeah. He has made me in full union with him. Not as I am God running anything, but I'm in full union with him. And I don't want to let my mind start to say there's something, a gift of grace that he has withheld from me in my own heart.
The theology that I hear in that statement is that how could he not make you just as he is? You know, as a little kid, you know innately by Holy Spirit that he's not going to do anything but that.
We're his kids. We're his children. We're his offspring. Defer to all that glorious goodness. Oh,